The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody, we go through the indictment. That's right, the indictment with John Eastman. He was actually included in the indictment. Exclusive interview, bombshell interview. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Get involved in the movement to save Western civilization. That is tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Email me as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com.
I know they desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again, which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump.
Days of chaos go back to your North Star, to the people that saw it very clearly. That was one of the last broadcasts that the legendary greatest broadcaster of all time period, Rush Limbaugh, made. And he predicted all this. He said, they're going to try to throw Trump in prison because they hate you, but you're not going anywhere. And that is comforting and soothing today, because what we're about to go into is not comforting and not soothing. It is tumultuous. It's uncertain. It's disappointing. It's depressing. It's infuriating. But I think it's important to start with the great Rush Limbaugh reminding us that you're not going anywhere. One of the last things that Rush told us, that you are not going anywhere. The ideas are not going anywhere. They can indict. They can raid, they can smear, they can slander, they can censor. But our resolve only strengthens. And that is a beautiful way to start today. All right, let's get right into it. 45 pages of trash. This is your government, everybody. For those of you that have to pay your taxes, work hard to make sure the government gets their money. This is a grotesque middle finger to decent society. There is no other way around it. Any rational legal mind reads this thing and they say, what? This right here, if I had to distill all this down, it's they're criminalizing facing 515 years in prison. That's right, 515 years in prison, which would be like from Machiavelli to now, just so we're clear. Right, Blake? More or less? It's like from the Machiavelli when he wrote The Prince 500 years ago to now. Just that's how long the prison sentence would be if you don't think correctly. I've read this thing 3 times now. Blake, who is brilliant with this stuff, I think he's read it 5 or 6 times. And we've had some time to sleep on it and go through it. The essence of this indictment is, OMG, Donald Trump believed this about the election, but he was told something different by an attorney general, somebody else, and how dare he continue to think that? This here is a criminalization of wrongthink. I'll go through the details to prove it to you. It is if you do not toe the party line, you go to prison. And I'll give you an example after example after example. It says that Donald Trump continually pushed these knowingly false claims that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the 2020 election. Now, excuse me when I say, screw you, federal government. Who are you to say either way about what is true or false? You guys have been lying about everything the last 4 or 5 years, lying about the laptop, lying about the southern border, lying about Ukraine, lying about COVID, lying about the vaccine, lying about masks, lying about school closures. You guys are telling us what is true or false, and you are going to then use differences of opinions to throw people in federal prison. Page 2 of this indictment, shortly after Election Day, the defendant also pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results. In doing so, Donald Trump perpetrated 3 criminal conspiracies. Now, time out. After the second time I read this indictment, I said, wait a second. You guys are allowed to write this pile of drivel accusing criminal conspiracies. And the minute that anybody on the center right accuses the federal government of colluding with big tech to try to get Democrats elected, they call us conspiracy theorists. I just find that nugget to be super interesting. This whole thing, in its most technical sense, is a conspiracy theory. Literally a conspiracy theory. Okay, so page 2 continues. Donald Trump is being indicted on 4 counts, and this is just one of them. The document thing is literally, I think, in some ways a distraction. I think Trump can win on the document thing. I think he's just trying to weigh him down, frustrate him, destroy the campaign. We can go. The Georgia one is real. New York is a total thing of trash. This here, Donald Trump indicted on conspiracy to defraud the United States. Really? Conspiracy to defraud the United States. Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. This is the weakest of all the charges. If conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding is actually taken seriously by our government, every single one of these environmental anti-gun activists that run into Congress, code pink, they should all be in federal prison. That's a joke. Obstruction of an attempt to obstruct official proceeding. That's 2. Conspiracy to obstruct and obstruction. The conspiracy one's more serious. Now, this is the one that should just infuriate you. And it's not. Many of your Republican leaders are smugly saying, oh, someone who doesn't put the Constitution first, like Mike Pence, the very stoic Mike Pence. I'm going to do a whole shtick on Mike Pence. So don't go anywhere. Get your popcorn, get your coffee, whatever it is. We got a whole rigmarole on Mike Pence. That guy yesterday brought me to a 10. And it's hard to get me to a 10. I don't like getting to a 10. But what he said yesterday was so pompous. I think the new word we use is sanctimonious, self-righteous. I'll get to that in a second. Conspiracy against rights. What in the fresh heck is conspiracy against rights? 18 USC, Criminal Code 241. What in the heck is that? Conspiracy against rights? Well, it was passed in the 1870s, known as the KKK Act. Not used very frequently. It's hard to prove. But for those of you that watch our show closely and carefully, for those of you that take our warnings seriously, there was a test case. Do you remember the young, innocent man who we tried our best to raise legal support for, who we actually, I think Turning Point donated, I think $10,000 to his legal fund? Douglas Mackey. Does that name ring a bell? Well, recently, Douglas Mackey was sentenced. Well, I don't know if he's been sentenced. He's been convicted, awaiting sentencing, because he made a meme in the 2016 election. Remember that? Because he made a meme making fun of Hillary Clinton. The Biden DOJ goes and says, we're going to put you in federal prison. Now, we were infuriated about this. Tucker Carlson, to his great credit. By the way, there's clear examples of Democrats doing the exact same thing. But Douglas Mackey, being a white conservative meme warrior, faces nearly a decade in federal prison. But it was a test case because they indicted him on 18 USC 241 conspiracy against rights. dusting off a KKK-era bill, law, that allows the federal government to criminalize your activity, your constitutional rights, if it's a threat to the regime, if they can convince 12 people to do it. This is a well-orchestrated legal trial and error. They tried it on Douglas Mackey to be able to use it against Donald Trump. And a lot of people said, oh, the Douglas Mackey thing, he made a meme. How does that impact me? Well, Douglas Mackey was patient zero. Douglas Mackey was patient zero of the dusting off of 18 U.S.C. 241 conspiracy against rights. And we're going to go through all these different aspects of this indictment. This is not normal. This is not ordinary. This is not acceptable. Remember how you feel, and then we're going to talk about what we can do on today, the day that we get to read through how your government wants to indict wrongthink in half the country. People ask me all the time when I travel about Strong Cell. Charlie, is Strong Cell legit? Charlie, do you really believe in the anti-aging properties of NADH? Well, it's not a matter of whether or not if I believe it. It's the science. You guys could check it out. Back check me. Look at NAD and see what it could do for you. Well, look, I take NAD every single day. Strong Cell is a scientific breakthrough in cellular health replenishment that combines NADH, CoQ10, and marine collagen to boost your body's cellular function. I personally take Strong Cell every day, and so do a ton of Kirk listeners. Go see the reviews for yourself. If you are someone who relies on caffeine or sugar to get yourself going, then you have to give Strong Cell a try. I only have one important request, as I recommend this life-changing product. You've got to give it at least 4 weeks to realize the best results. It takes a little time to re-engineer your body's NADH. Think about it. It's been on decline in your middle-aged body for a year or so. So check it out. Go to strongcell.com/Charlie and read the personal testimonies for yourself. Then use promo code Charlie to get a special 20% discount on your order. Again, that's strongcell.com/Charlie. 20% discount, strongcell.com, promo code Charlie. I mean, this is Vichy French type chatter, okay? In fact, I was in Orange County yesterday. It's beautiful. If you live in Orange County, you're very blessed. And sometimes people in Orange County are so disconnected from reality. And, you know, somebody I was talking to, they said, Charlie, I wish all this would go away. And then you say it's not. You think these tyrants and these Marxist totalitarians are going to go poof, disappear because you want it to? Nikki Haley? Happy talk? Okay, then go on the sidelines. Go, I don't even know, go design war plans on how to invade Kenya or whatever thing that gets you off and pays the bills. We're in a fight for the Republic here. I hear this over and over again by upper middle class people, exactly what Nikki Haley said. Well, I don't want to have to be talking about this. They're going to come after you too if you ever do anything meaningful, unless you just, you know, toe the party line and do everything you say they're going to do. There is no escaping this. The only way is through, is defeat, is dismantling. The only way through. There is no wishing it away. Oh boy, we have to move forward with a new generation of leadership. That's not about any of this. That's consultant scripted talk where you're just tired of having to answer questions. It's not about, oh, this candidate or that candidate. This is an out of control administrative state. Now, Jack Smith is supposed to be this independent counsel. A way an independent counsel is supposed to be established is independent minded and all this. He's a jackbooted thug. He's an insanely aggressive prosecutor who, by the way, has basically been set up as a embedded law firm for the Department of Justice, doing whatever they want. This indictment, including the document stuff, is so grotesque, is so over the top. And it would be nice if the opposition party in our country saw it for what it is. By the way, Jack Smith's wife did a documentary on Michelle Obama. I mean, this is not exactly impartial. This is not like, oh, well, I'm independent, I'm measured, I'm sober. This is pathological. This is desperate type stuff. And I will keep on repeating it. It's about you. It is not about Trump. It is about getting you to give up, making you disempowered, making your voice diluted or silenced, putting you on the fringes, to demoralize you. Remember, that is one of the things that Yuri Bezmenov talked about. To demoralize a population. Now, a big part of this indictment, and this is something we're going to talk about with our next guest, is about the alternate electors, they say, this scheme. This is trash, what they're going after. They are attempting to criminalize your constitutional, God-given right to challenge tyranny, challenge elections, ask questions. They say if you ask the wrong questions publicly, if you file the wrong lawsuits, jail. I hate to be that simple. You read it, that's what this is. They want to make it so that the American people are so scared and afraid of espousing wrong opinions that you shall obey. Now, the part of this indictment does not include seditious conspiracy. That could be coming in a superseding indictment. This is conspiracy to defraud the United States, whatever that means. Conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has several venues: James Comey, John Brennan, Bruce and Nellie Orr, Lisa Page, Andy McCabe, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama. They all walk free. No indictments. They are perfectly fine. Anthony Fauci. These people get off, and Donald Trump is the one that is the recipient of the full force of the government. So a major part of this indictment is the alternate electors. Our next guest is being attacked by the media. It's someone who I had a chance to spend some time with a couple summers ago. Very smart, decent man, John Eastman, who is one of the main players in this entire thing. The media tells us that this is the worst guy ever, that you can't support this guy. I like John Eastman. I'm going to say it when he's on the show. I'll say it right now. He's a good man. And I think he's being maligned and scapegoated unfairly. I want to hear his side of the story. And I'm curious, is he one of the co-conspirators? Because there's six quote-unquote co-conspirators here. I want to hear straight from John Eastman, exclusively here on the Charlie Kirk Show, who, according to media reports, they say he is the mastermind behind the fraudulent elector scheme. Well, let's decide next here with John Eastman, exclusively on the Charlie Kirk Show. All right, I got an important thing to share with you. You were probably tired about all these left-wing progressive companies. And you're probably exhausted with trying to keep up with all their virtue signaling and their woke nonsense. It's a question, right? Why has corporate America decided to say, we hate you, to their customers? I mean, I see Adidas. Adidas might as well have a big sign that says, we hate you. Look, progressive left-wing companies are taking over the market, and it's time for us to fight back. I want to tell you about a company I really care about, run by a friend of mine who's a great American, and they're growing and they need your help, and it's very important, okay? Look, we don't have to fund these companies, the left-wing companies. We finally have an alternative, Public Square. We have a solution. I hear from people all the time, Charlie, how do we fight back? Charlie, where are the options? It's very simple. It's publicsq.com. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.com. I use this app all the time when I'm traveling and also my local neighborhood. It's an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your values like life, family, and freedom. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a fabulous job. And it's free to join as a consumer or a business owner, and you can get started today at publicsq.com. Download the app now. That's publicsq.com. How are we going to fight woke capital? How are we going to fight these progressive companies? How are Public Square? They do a fabulous job. I think the world of them. They're in the arena fighting back. If you are a business owner, download the app. If you are interested in supporting companies that aren't woke, download the app. If you are traveling, you want to find a coffee shop that is not woke, download the app or go to publicsq.com. I'm 100% behind them. You're going to hear me talk about them a lot. It's time for us to join forces and build the parallel economy. Public Square, I have vetted them. I've got to know them really well. I've looked at the company deeply. Fabulous people, ethical Christian, strong conservatives. publicsq.com. Go there right now. Download the app. It is free. It's free app. Free to join. Especially if you're a business owner, go to publicsq.com. Joining us now is John Eastman. John, welcome to the program. John, I want to make sure you have an opportunity in your own words to explain what is going on. There's so much misinformation and disinformation in the media about you. So let me just ask you very simply, what was the plan that you and the Trump team had leading up to January 6th? John Eastman, the floor is yours.
Well, the first was to challenge the illegality that everybody admits occurred in the election. People were changing state statutes without any legal authority. That made those elections unconstitutional. The courts refused to hear these cases. And so we recommended to Vice President Pence that he accede to requests from more than 100 state legislators to give them time to assess the impact of the acknowledged illegality. An illegality that Vice President Pence himself acknowledged in his Dear Colleague letter the morning of January 6th. He said there are numerous instances of state officials ignoring or suspending state election laws. That made it unconstitutional. And the state legislatures were asking for time to assess the impact because their governors had refused to call them into special session. And now they were coming into normal session and they wanted a week just to assess the impact. And in that week, if they decided the impact was less than the margin of victory, they would recertify Biden electors. And the scenarios memo that I put together specifically says that if that happens, then they recertify Biden's electors and Biden wins. That's in bold print in my memo. But everybody overlooks that. This was contingent on an investigation identifying impact of illegality in the election. This is something every American ought to support. We ought not to throw this stuff under the rug and pretend that it didn't happen.
And contingent on an investigation, that's awfully rational, John, and something I haven't heard the media say. So the left-wing media and the Department of Justice, John, is framing you, someone who I really, you know, enjoy and I have a lot of respect for, and I loved our time together at the Claremont Fellowship, as the kind of mastermind of this, what they call, fraudulent elector scheme. What's the truth here?
Well, the truth is these electors explicitly in Pennsylvania and New Mexico in the certificate itself and explicitly in contemporaneous statements made by the electors in the other five states were contingent on this then still pending election challenges. Because if they didn't meet on the designated day, one of the Constitution's provisions says Congress has the power to designate a day for the electors to meet, and it shall be uniform across the country. So if the electors don't meet on the designated day, even if they are later certified as the actual victors, their election, their votes may not count. And this happened once in our nation's history. There was a blizzard in Wisconsin in 1856. They couldn't meet until the next day. And the acting president of the Senate determined to count the Wisconsin electors, but the two houses, after the joint session was over, debated that whether that was legal or not for three whole days and didn't come to a conclusion. So a similar thing happened in 1960 with the Kennedy electors in Hawaii. They were not certified. They had lost the election on election day in November. They met anyway and cast their contingent votes. And then when the election challenge ended up going Kennedy's way, those votes were available to be counted in the joint session of Congress. So nothing untoward here. This is, you know, both supported by historical precedent and law. But it's part of this narrative that these were fake electors and therefore it was, you know, a fraudulent effort to interfere with the election. Nothing could be further from the truth.
And part of this also was hinging on the vice president. And from my understanding, you were encouraging state legislators to pass legislation to question, at least get to the bottom of the election results. To your knowledge, in American history, has anyone ever gone to prison or been indicted for encouraging the government to pass a bill?
No. In fact, there's actually a provision in the Constitution. It's we all know the First Amendment's free speech clause, but there's another clause, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. We had a big grievance here, and asking the government to do something about it, or at least to look into it, is the very essence of petitioning the government for redress of grievances. So there are huge constitutional issues here, and I look forward to President Trump and his current legal team vigorously raising those defenses in response to this latest indictment.
And so, John, I'm reading this trash indictment. You've been a brilliant legal mind for quite some time. I have to ask you, I mean, the speculation is that you're one of the co-conspirators listed here. Is there something you could fill us in on? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it doesn't take much to go from speculation to confirmation. They quote unindicted co-conspirator number two. They quote a number of public documents of mine that are in the public realm. So anybody that spends half a minute looking at this stuff knows I'm co-conspirator number two. My attorneys put out a statement to that effect last night. But it's I suppose it's good news from my point of view that I'm an unindicted co-conspirator rather than an indicted conspirator. I look forward to maybe being called as a witness to come to President Trump's defense, because getting legal advice about contested interpretations of constitutional provisions is not and never has been and never should be a criminal action. What's really going on here is an attempt to prevent people who are unpopular with the elites in our country from having competent legal representation, from having any representation at all. The effort by the 65 Project to go after every one of the attorneys that was involved in any of these election challenges, they make no bones about it. They've specifically said our goal here is not just to have them disbarred, but to make them toxic in their firms and their communities so that right-wing legal talent will never take on these election challenges again. Of course, if that succeeds, then it clears the path for, you know, complete manipulation of election processes without anybody willing or able to step up to challenge it in the courts.
And so John, I think it's important just to take a step back for a second and remind our audience, what was the context of the 2020 election? None of this is mentioned in the indictment. You said it perfectly. Unconstitutional changing of state-based voting laws, right? We had mass mail-in ballots. We had late-night counting suspicious activity. We had an unprecedented, just let's say, spike of reporting. And so, John, when you were getting into this and you were starting to advise the president, I think that's helpful to remind our audience, and of course, Department of Justice, who is watching the stream right now, the intent that you had was to get to the truth. Is it now a crime to use the legal system to get to the truth of an election?
Well, they're certainly trying to make it a crime, or at least make it so miserable for people trying to do that, that nobody else will want to step up in the future. Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution is quite clear. The power to direct the manner for choosing presidential electors is vested in the legislature of the state, not the Secretary of State, not the county clerk, not the attorney general, not the governor. They are not legally authorized to make changes to the election code. If the legislature has chosen to have their electors chosen by an election, they could just choose the electors themselves, as many of the states did at the beginning of our nation's history for nearly a half a century. But when they set up an election code, that becomes the manner of choosing electors. And individual actors in the executive or judicial branch don't have the legal authority to alter that. They did. They changed deadlines. They altered signature verification process, or in Pennsylvania, eliminated it altogether. They added drop boxes. They got rid of voter ID in Wisconsin. Both of those things have been subsequently held to have been illegal, which means also unconstitutional. The question in my mind was not whether those illegalities occurred. That's obvious. The question is whether it had an impact on the election such that politically, in order to determine who the actual winner was, they should take account of that. And in Wisconsin, the significant report by former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman identified a couple hundred thousand ballots that were affected by the illegality. An illegality, for example, the Secretary of State barred bipartisan teams from observing in nursing homes as the law required. That was not only illegal, but it opened the door for a massive and proven fraud, because the ballots that came out of those nursing homes are in many thousands of instances in the same handwriting. And so this kind of illegality opened the door for fraud. In numerous instances, we've proved the fraud occurred. And in Wisconsin, the amount of the fraud caused by that illegality was much greater than the 20,000 vote margin in Wisconsin. So this happened in all of the swing states. And the notion that we should just forget about it and pretend it didn't exist, it's like that old famous movie where the guy's, you know, big explosions going on behind him. And he says, nothing to see here. Move on.
That's exactly right. The piece that I think is most in public contention right now is the Mike Pence piece. Mike Pence says, I had no constitutional authority. This was a legal coup, bad advice. I had no right to send this back to the states. What is the truth?
Well, the truth is much more complicated and nuanced than that, and it's an open question. The language of the 12th Amendment, which parallels the language of the original Article 2, said the vice president shall open the certificates in the presence of the House and Senate, and then they shall be counted. The House and Senate are there to observe, not to have any role in the counting. And there have been significant legal scholars that have held that that means the vice president has the judgment authority if there is a legitimate dispute about the validity of electoral certificates. Pence decided he was just going to be a potted plant. And by the way, proof that this was an open question, Congress altered the Electoral Count Act because they recognized the prior version of it was ambiguous on whether the vice president had a role. They made it more unconstitutional rather than less, however, because you can't, by statute, usurp powers that the Constitution vests in another constitutional actor. So the vice president basically punted. He said, I'm just a potted plant up here. My role is to be a very high-priced letter opener, and that's it. Well, I'm sorry. The Constitution and our founders did not create any office with so little judgment ability. and we should have gotten to the bottom of this, as the state legislators were asking. But he chose not to. And just keep it under the rug, because we don't want to go anywhere here.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow's 20-year anniversary, they're celebrating over 80 million pillows sold. Mike Lindell with MyPillow wants to thank you by giving you the lowest price in history on their MyPillows. You'll receive a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. Regular price is $69.98 and just $10 more for a king size. With this special anniversary offer, you'll receive a deep discount on all MyPillow products, such as their bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Kirk to receive this amazing offer on the queen size MyPillow. It's time to start getting the quality sleep you deserve. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Receive this amazing offer on the queen-size MyPillow. Let's support my friend Mike Lindell. MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. It's MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. John, how can people support you and your legal fund? Please tell us.
GiveSendGo.com/Eastman. Two things are important there. Three, actually. We use it as a blog to keep people updated on what's happening. People can send prayers via that site. My wife and I read them, and they're heartwarming. And then, of course, they can donate. Don't be scared by the amount we've already raised. If they look at Update 22, they'll see the 14 actions I'm defending against. And our legal fees are well in excess of even the goal that we've already identified there.
So it's givesendgo.com/Eastman. And, I mean, just walk through this. I mean, the DOJ has unlimited budgets, and they're coming after you so aggressively. It's unbelievable.
Well, the DOJ, we don't know what's happening down in Georgia yet. The FBI seized my phone over a year ago, and it still refuses to give it back. The bar complaints in California and D.C. and also the Supreme Court, the latter filed by the 65 Project, the earlier one filed by States United Democracy Center. What I call this is asymmetric lawfare. They file these complaints, and then they tap into the vast investigative and prosecutorial resources of the government to go after anybody that is not towing the status quo line by our increasingly authoritarian government. And this is a very dangerous thing that's going on in this country. It's already curtailing the ability of conservative candidates and causes and individuals from getting legal representation, because all of the major law firms are afraid of being canceled by their other clients. If you do that, you destroy the adversarial system in this country. You remember Shakespeare once said, the first thing we do is kill all the lawyers. Most people think that's because we don't like lawyers. But it was actually Dick the Butcher who was trying to launch a coup. And he said, if we're going to do this, the first thing we have to do is kill all the lawyers, because they will get in the way of what we're trying to do in launching this coup.
And so, John, what I find to be also so troubling about this indictment, and I'm sure you've had a chance to maybe read it or at least be familiar with it, is that there's sentence and sentence. Again, I'm a layman here. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV. But 90% of what's in here seems to just be MSNBC drivel jabs of wrong think. I mean, it's almost as simple as, well, Donald Trump believed this even though the claims were false. John, have you ever seen an indictment like this? You're the multi-decade experienced legal mind.
Yeah, no, it's 45 pages of basically false narrative. It's as false in its particulars as the long-running Russia collusion hoax. And they're doubling down on the falsity. The main claim is, you know, that Trump lost the election. It was free and legitimate because Bill Barr and Krebs said so. And the rest of us are supposed to just bend the knee despite all the evidence to the contrary. And because the government has said so. This is where I talk about this in authoritarian terms, whether it's the COVID origins or the COVID vaccine or CRT or transgender men exposing themselves to your teenage daughters in their showers. The government has spoken and we're just supposed to, like sheep, go along with it. That is the very definition of authoritarianism. And we are on the precipice of locking that in this country, unless people like me and you and others stand up against it. This is what we have to do. I mean, freedom is not free. It costs us a lot, and we have to be willing to defend it.
So, John, can you just give us a little bit of a battle plan then? Do you anticipate that you will be indicted? Do you think there's more indictments coming? Just give us kind of how you think this thing's going to unfold from a timeline perspective.
Well, there's a 5-year statute of limitation on all this stuff. So I think they needed to go after President Trump sooner rather than later because of the election calendar and DOJ policy about indictments against candidates for office. That means that the rest of us will kind of be in limbo for a while. But I also think that their main target of this whole thing has always been President Trump. The rest of us are just there as fodder if they can use us to their advantage in any way. What I found interesting in all of this is the expectation that by naming me or others as unindicted co-conspirators, we would run to the Department of Justice and offer to give up the goods on Trump. I mean, two things wrong with that story. One, it would be unethical for me as a lawyer to do that, even if I have the goods. And the second thing wrong with it is there are no goods to have because everything we did was above board and legal. It was legitimate challenges to clear illegalities in the conduct of the election. And people need to keep that front and center. I don't have any bargaining chips to negotiate a plea deal with the Department of Justice anyway, because there is nothing there to bargain with. But that doesn't matter to them. This is Lavrenti Beria, NKVD of the Soviet Union stuff. Show me the man and I'll find you the crime. Or our own former Supreme Court Justice Robert Jackson, who in a very important 1940 speech to the U.S. attorneys of the United States warned them against using what he called the most awesome power of the prosecutor, which is to decide not a case that needs to be prosecuted, but a person you want to go after and then scour the books to see if you can find something to go after him with. And that's what's going on here. They wanted to go after Trump because he's punching back against the deep state that has become increasingly unresponsive to the sovereignty of the American people.
Just to summarize all this, John Eastman is, quote unquote, involved to the extent that he wanted to ask questions about an election unlike anything we have ever seen. Final thoughts, John Eastman, and also it's givesendgo.com/Eastman. Everybody chip in. I will be. Final thoughts, John Eastman.
Thank you. And thanks for putting this on the show. We need the only way we defeat this terrible step that's been taken here is to highlight what's going on and to push back with everything we've got. That's what I'm doing. I may be in a unique situation with my career and my education to be able to do that, but everybody can weigh in and help.
John, God bless you. You're welcome back anytime. The entire regime is going after John Eastman right now. I hope you guys know this. Every media, intel agency, DOJ. And John Eastman, he's a smart guy. He's articulate, as you could tell, and he's punching back. John, welcome back anytime. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Charlie. Take care. And congratulations on all the great work you're doing.
Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com. Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.